T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You got that right. It is now 83 glorious degrees outside, partly cloudy. Not bad. And we'll keep you posted if any bad weather moves in, as you just heard from, was it Josie? That we may get some weather around between 8 and 10 o'clock. So we'll see if that happens. We'll keep you posted right here on WCCO. With this first half hour, I'm very excited to introduce this guest back to you once again because we've had him on before. And I have to say, you know, when I was listening to the G20, the first thing I thought when I was sending my producer, Jimmy Erickson, ideas was, oh, my gosh, we have to talk about some of this. Well, his name is Andy Aoki, and I hope I pronounced that correctly. He's an Augsburg College political science professor joining us tonight. How are you, Andy? Andy, are you there? Hold on. Are you there?
Hello. Yes, hello.
Oh, wonderful. Welcome to CCO, Andy.
Oh, thanks.
You know, there's a whole lot to talk in the few minutes that we have, and I'm not even sure where to begin, but I think I'm going to start with the G20. The president attends the G20 and gets some mixed reviews. Now, I have to tell you, mixed reviews, really, I don't think it was mixed reviews at all. I think it was ridiculous, and I don't think he was received very well at all. Between a score of 0 to 10 and 10 being the best, 0 being the worst, I give him a -2, but what do you say?
Well, I might give him a +2, so a little better than you. But the G20 partners are clearly trying to come away with as positive an outcome as possible. But Trump was probably the biggest obstacle in the way of doing that.
He really was. You know, I kept waiting for him to, you know, I knew he would be uneasy when he got there, you know, considering he's never been in politics before. This is huge. And he's among all of the world, you know, top richest nations. And to sit among them and have to talk and not just have conversation, but come up with some ideas and maybe some solutions and that sort of thing. So I didn't expect him to walk in and be right on immediately, but I did expect to see it within 24 hours. And I just didn't see it. What was your takeaway when watching the rest of the leaders watch Trump?
Well, you know, I think there were a couple of problems. First, obviously, they have strong disagreements with him on some important issues, climate change being one good example. But then second, I think he really is inexperienced and he doesn't know very much about the world. So you have someone who's an amateur who is in principle the leader of the free world, and they're trying to figure out, what do we do with this guy? You know, how are we going to get progress on really tough issues with someone who is at best still learning and has a lot to learn?
Yeah, he has a lot to learn. You know, amateur is defined as a person who engages in a pursuit, especially a sport, on an unpaid basis. Well, of course he's paid, but he is supposed to be engaging in the pursuit of this knowledge. And I don't see that even happening. I keep saying to myself, when is he going to engage? And I don't think, if he's in office for the full term, I don't think he's ever going to get there.
Well, you know, we have to hope that he's going to learn.
We need him to.
It was striking, though. We've never seen, you know, when he's a candidate, we've never seen a major candidate like that not spend a lot of time trying to learn about the office. And Trump clearly didn't make any effort to really learn what he was supposed to be doing as president.
Mm-hmm. So are you concerned? More than concerned?
It's a big concern. You know, there's been a lot of talk in the last 24 hours about his tweet that they're going to work with the Russians in cybersecurity. And as Adam Kinzinger, the Republican from Illinois, said, that's like letting the fox in the hen house. I mean, we've got to be concerned. If you're concerned about America, what's happening here?
They've told us some of the things that they talked about, supposedly, although Trump did not face the journalists at the end, right? He didn't even do a press meeting. But I will say that they're telling us one thing, but we have no proof of anything that happened in there. That alone shocked me. And it seems like it would be illegal. Is it illegal?
Well, no, you know, you're talking about an international meeting, and while there are some sunshine
But it's laws, an international meeting with our enemy.
Yeah, but, you know, the legality would be covered under American law, and so American laws wouldn't apply, for the most part, to anything going on over there.
But he was supposed to talk to Putin about, you know, what happened here in our election, the campaign, and even afterwards. And we were supposed to hear that he was going to face him, you know, and say, you can't do that. And if you do that again, this is what we're going to do. We didn't get that. Doesn't that count for something?
Well, you know, I've been trying to make sense out of this. And if you listen to some of the top people around him, Tillerson, Nikki Haley, people like that, it looks like they're all trying to say he did do that. And Trump's one person not really saying he did that, or at least he's made given us no assurance that he was very forceful. So it seems as if the people around him were all hoping he would, but he just didn't confront him very much.
I just feel like we should be done with the whole hoping thing. And I don't like it that other people come forward and put words in his mouth. If he wants to talk, he'll talk. And a lot of times he'll absolutely tell exactly what happened or what he's thinking, you know, no matter how awful it is. And then other times he won't. But he should say it. And I want to hear it from him, as we've heard from all the other presidents in my lifetime. Let's move on. Trump stands on foreign soil and decides to disparage our media, journalists here at home. I have to tell you, Professor, I think that's nuts. And, you know, I grew up with one of those principles that said a hard head makes a soft behind. And I feel like our president has shown himself to be extremely hard-headed. He's going to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. And I'm not sure that that's good for our democracy and for who we are.
No, he's in many ways, it looks like he got rolled by Putin over there. And that's one example. I mean, no one loves attacking the press more than Putin, or loves seeing Trump do that. That's what Putin tries to do, of course. And it's just not what a president should be doing in a venue like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Time to talk health care. Of course, the ACA, AHCA, or whatever that crazy name is for the Senate health care bill, I can't even figure it out yet. The vote is coming this week. Many believe that. I've read articles today that say it could happen, and most say that no way, no way at all. You've got Congress working diligently on this and trying to pass it very quickly without the help of the Democrats. And you've got the president meeting with Putin. You've got his son coming out saying, oh, yeah, there was this other meeting with Putin that we didn't mention. There is so much that's going on that's all convoluted and intertwined. And I wonder if it's possible for us to seek out the truth from each of these when it comes to politics and when it comes to this particular administration. Or is this in history through in politics, is that something that's very difficult to do? That's why it takes years for us to investigate. I mean, even Nixon, it took, what, 4 years or 3 years, 3.5 years for him to have to resign from the time that we actually heard about and learned about what happened.
It can take a while because obviously there are people who know who are not likely to say things or don't want to say things. And over the years, you know, some things come out and then some information becomes revealed over the years. But really, the press is one of the main tools we have, a diverse and vibrant press. People searching out, different people find different things. We get bits and pieces of the story that put together, we get a little better idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at your calmness. I'm trying to come down a little bit because I walked in tonight. I could not wait to talk to you, and I didn't expect you to be as calm as you are. Tell me what your secret is.
Well, maybe I sound different than I feel inside. I don't know. But there's certainly reason to be concerned. As I was reading again about, you know, what he's saying about cybersecurity, I was pretty alarmed.
Mm-hmm. Particularly about this this new, when they ask all of the states to present the voter registrations of all of their voters in their state. And, you know, most of them have come forward and said, absolutely not. You're not going to get that. It's not protected. And just the mention of that, I've been losing sleep, sir. I have absolutely been losing sleep over this. And I'm trying to gather my thoughts and figure out how do I don't want to let it go, but how do I keep informed and know and understand where these things are going?
Well, it's hard. There's so many things going on. Their push for voter data is pretty disturbing. If you think that they're going to do a good job of keeping that secret, you know, you've got to be pretty naive. And they're asking for some pretty sensitive data, which is why most of the states, I think, have said they're not going to give them everything they ask for. And so one reassuring piece is that federalism means that our states are still pretty strong, and they're going to serve at least as a little bit of a check on that.
Okay. Well, I digress. Let me get back to Affordable Care Act, because I understand that Congress has the ACA for their health care and have to pay part of their premiums. Can you tell me if part of their premiums are paid by us? I understand that about 75% are paid by taxpayers, but I'm not sure if that's true.
Yeah, well, they have to purchase through an exchange. They run through the DC exchange, which is a very small one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's similar to other people buying insurance on exchanges, although, again, the DC one is very small. Of course, Washington, DC is not real big. But they have to go through the same process. Of course, ultimately, the money they get comes from taxpayers, because their salaries and things are paid by taxpayers.
So, in other words, about 75% is paid by taxpayers?
I'm actually not sure the exact percentage, how much, but I mean, they're obviously government employees. So.
Okay, and this is for former congressmen and women as well, right? Because once you leave office, don't you stay on insurance? Don't we cover it for a lifetime?
Oh yeah, there are different arrangements, often for retired than for active ones. When the ACA was passed, they made provisions so that active ones had to participate in exchanges. But generally, retired government employees, whether members of Congress or others, they can be eligible for a somewhat different federal health insurance program. So, yes, they could be covered.
And, of course, ACA is, you know, has a lot to do with how much you make, right? With the kind of money that they make, do they have – you know, is theirs better than the ACA that's offered to the rest of us? Or, you know, do they have more coverage than we do? Or are they paying more than we pay?
I'm not sure the exact numbers. I think overall their costs are a little less. You know, with the ACA, there are different options. And so there's a lower cost option. There are a couple higher cost options. I think the retirees' coverage is better than the lowest cost option. I don't know that it's better than the gold option.
Mm-hmm. So how are your students responding to what's going on right now over at Augsburg College? How are they looking at, you know, looking through the political lens at where America is and where we potentially could go, particularly with North Korea? I mean, we've got so many major, major, huge, like scream at the top of the mountain things that are going on. Do the students realize the severity, the seriousness of it all?
I'm not sure. You know, one thing, when you're 18 or 19 years old, you haven't been around quite as long as some of us have. And so it is hard to have the perspective. You know, if you've seen quite a few presidents, as some of us have, you realize, boy, this is a very unusual situation we're in. For a lot of them, this is only the second one they remember, and so they don't quite know that we've seen a lot of presidents, Republican as well as Democratic, and this one is different than all of them.
we had so many young people involved in the civil rights movement. Is it that the young people now are so separated, detached from politics today? Even those that are sitting in a class, maybe they say, I have to take this class, or maybe it's part of their degree program. But do they look and say, yeah, I'm totally detached where I was, but now I'm trying to get on board?
I think more are getting involved. You know, there's always a range. Some people are just not interested. But I think the people who had some level of interest that weren't very involved, I think a lot of them are trying to figure out ways to get more involved, more active, because they're concerned about what's going on. And there seems to be a wave going on around the country of younger people trying to have more influence and take part in the political process.
And finally, how do you advise them on getting involved?
Well, there are a lot of ways. Of course, there are groups, and that's one of the most convenient ways. One thing I tell them is elections do matter. I think after 2016, there's very few people who would disagree with that. But the midterm elections matter a lot, and many times younger people, they're well aware of what's going on during a presidential election, but they don't understand how important the midterms are. So I tell them, you know, coming right up in 2018, you've got a chance to get involved and make a difference.
I believe, in fact, I just read an article in City Pages that dealt with that and talked about particularly the millennials, you know, coming forward and understanding the importance of the midterms. We've had problems understanding midterms for a very long time, it seems. And I'm not sure when young people were really engaged in voting, particularly now that they can vote at 18. Do you know if there was a time when we were all really engaged from the age of 18 on up when it came to voting?
I don't think so. At least the data we have, it shows pretty clearly that it takes a little while for people to get involved. And in part, that's the transition, you know, from childhood to youth to adulthood. And when you're 18, 19, 20, there's a lot of transitions going on. You're figuring out a job, where to live, things like that are taking some of your attention. And so for years, the data suggests it's not until later 20s, the 30s, the 40s, people really start to follow things more closely and be more involved.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with being involved and living, you know, making sure, like buying a home. I bought my first home at the age of 21. And between the age of 18 and 21, believe me, everything changed. I started looking at politics differently, leaders, because I knew that they would affect my ownership and this sort of thing. So maybe it has a lot to do with people waiting for a long time before they leave their parents' home, or waiting a long time before they really get engaged. You know, if you don't buy a home or buy a piece of property or buy a piece of land, that sort of thing. So maybe that's it. I don't know. But I'll keep trying to figure it out. That's for sure. Professor Andy, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. I have no idea how that man stays that calm. Seriously. I mean, for me, it's just... I am losing sleep. And I wonder if you're losing sleep, because it almost is too much. But I believe that it's never too much, that there are enough of us. We have 325 million Americans, about 200 million of us are adults. And with 200 million of us, surely we can be active. Surely we can be engaged. Surely we can split up and start dealing with each of these, you know, incidents and start organizing and figuring out how we're going to get back on track. Because the bottom line is, we could seriously be in a nuclear war soon. Seriously. That is not a joke. And I remember us talking about the election last year, and I kept begging, please, please get out and vote, because we may not be here in a year. We may be gone. The earth may be gone. And I know some of you probably thought, oh, Geraldine, that's just being, you know, you're an entertainer and you're a singer. You're just over-concerned. Maybe some of you thought I was bloviated. Who knows? But the bottom line is that this is very real. We're not reading a comic book. We're not reading fantasy. We're not watching television and just, you know, oh, wow, look at that reality TV show. This is our reality. Wake up. We'll be back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now, 729 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steel Talking, and I am your host, Geraldine Steele. If you'd like to comment on that half hour that we just did, I think 8:35 is going to be the time to do it. We're going to do open phones then at 8:35, so I do hope I get a chance to talk to you then at 651-989-9226. Now, my next guest coming up, those that listened last Sunday, I mentioned in passing about this basic income program. I don't know if you've heard about this basic income guarantee, and we talked about the founder, I hate calling him founder because he kind of stole it, but the founder of Facebook has been talking about it, and he's thinking about running for office, and we're going to kind of tackle that tonight. Liani Gale is going to join us, and Liani is part of the Minnesota Basic Income Guarantee. It's called Big MN. And also we're going to talk to Kim Crockett, who is the executive director of Minnesota Free Market Institute. We got a lot to talk about on this subject, and it's something that could really affect us here in Minnesota. Hawaii has already kind of stepped up to the plate in June when it passed the first piece of legislation aimed at exploring a niche but growing form of wealth distribution. It's called the bill is called HCR 89, which directs the government to convene a basic economic security working group. How about that? It's moving pretty quickly. We'll find out more in just a moment. It is now 7:34 here at WCCO. We were hoping to get two guests on tonight. One is Liani Gale, and Liani Gale is from Big MN. It's called Minnesota Basic Income Guarantee. And we're also supposed to get Kim Crockett on, who is the president of the Minnesota Free Market Institute, to join us tonight to talk about this. But we cannot reach either of them. How about that? So the phone lines are open just for you. 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. You know, you just heard me talk to the professor, Andy, and we really talked about what happened with the G20. There is so much unfolding. I'm having a very difficult time with it. You know, usually I can calm myself down. I can listen to music, but the last two nights have been really difficult. I think about my grandchildren. I think about your grandchildren. I think about your community and my community. And I keep saying to myself, do we realize how bad this is? Are we just ignoring it? Are we at the point where we're still trying to say, oh, he'll come around, he'll come around? But when you're starting a fight with North Korea, really? When you're starting fights around the world, and we've already got a few that are going on, really? If you'd like to join us, give us a call at 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. I'd love to talk to you about this because I'm telling you, these are serious days. Now, I do know that while they were over there, Melania Trump, I guess her numbers kind of went through the roof, and that people really, the people from the G20 and some of the journalists really wrote and said great things about our First Lady. Unfortunately, I couldn't pay attention to the First Lady. I had to pay attention to the president and what he was and was not doing. And for him to go in to have a private meeting with our nemesis, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe without anyone taking notes, without any recording. Really? We really don't know what happened. All right, let's go over to Pat calling in from Minneapolis. Pat, welcome to CCO.
Abe Lincoln said the best way to get rid of your enemies is to make them your friends. And I don't think our policies of regime change and crumbling other countries, it has been very good. So if this is a policy change, I'm hoping it'll be better. And I know that the guy we've got is sometimes as dense as a box of bricks. But he did appoint Tollison. And since I've been listening and watching what Tollison is like, I actually have been feeling better because I was for Sanders.
Okay, so you're feeling better with our Secretary of State.
Yes. I know that Trump is tweeting, a hyperactive kind of a guy. I know he has his bad faults, and some days I'm going to be very annoyed and wishing that it had been Sanders, but I wasn't going for the Clintons, and I'm not saying every appointment of him that he's made has been perfect, but on when I see Tollison and listen to Tollison,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking maybe Trump justified a lot of votes, right?
But we don't hear much, Pat, and I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. We don't hear much from Tillerson. That's my problem. We hear more from Haley, the ambassador to the UN. We hear more from her. She sounds like Secretary of State to me. I don't know about to y'all. Let's go over to Jeff calling in from St. Louis Park. Hey, Jeff, what do you say? Do you think it's all about keeping our enemies closer, like Pat said?
No, I just think that's obscuring things. Putin, those two guys deserved each other in that meeting. Except Putin is not incompetent, and Trump is. Trump is not. He's in way over his head. I'm a college professor, and I think a lot of—
Do you teach politics?
Psychology.
Okay. Well, please tell us more.
A lot of his temperament is like an adolescent teenage bully.
But do you want him to succeed in our favor? In our favor.
Not even in the ballpark. It's not even there that he's going to succeed. It's just that not do enough damage. And I do agree with your recent caller. He has made a couple good appointments. There, the defense secretary, can't think of his name, but he is a very strong personality, and he didn't kiss up to him in that crazy cabinet meeting they had about a month ago. There are a few very strong personalities who I think will help avert disasters.
I think James Mattis, isn't it, General Mattis?
That could be.
Yeah, Secretary of Defense.
In terms of making progress, moving the country ahead, it's not going to happen. The guy is not able. He didn't prepare for this G20 thing. People said the book they usually use to have people get prepared was very thin.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Jeff. I sure appreciate it. All right, let's go to Rick calling in from Hutchinson. How you doing? How you doing, Rick?
Very good. You?
I'm doing well. And what is your comment?
What did that last guy do that's so good?
Are you talking about the President of the United States?
Uh-huh.
You're talking about Obama, President Obama?
Yeah.
What did he do that was so great?
Yeah.
Well, one thing I think is great is that he gave some insurance to 28 million Americans.
That's going broke right now.
Well, whether you say it's going broke, but you tell that to the parent who was able to get coverage for their child with pre-existing conditions, where they don't have to worry about losing their house. They don't have to worry about losing their job behind it because they can go in and do that. Even if it's failing, it gave them a respite.
Sounds good, but what did he do that's so good? He walked into that job. He wasn't fluent on what's going on in the world.
He was a senator, sir. He was a U.S. senator.
Oh, 1 year.
Pardon me?
He just walked into the job.
But he was a U.S. senator. He knew how Congress worked. So he knew if he was going. No. Trump has never run for office, not even mayor.
What makes you think you have to have run for office?
I didn't say you have to. No. The Constitution is very clear about the qualifications. It does not require it. But in today's technology, in today's world, it behooves us to have the smartest we can. The one that is diplomatic, the one that can get us there. That's my thought.
I'm not going to agree with that, but I'll tell you what. This even goes back past Obama, goes to Bush, to all the people that Trump was talking about on Inauguration Day, they did nothing. 6 months into his term, and North Korea falls apart.
Are you talking about President Obama?
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, Bush.
Bush.
Okay, President Bush.
6 months into his term, mm-hmm. North Korea falls apart, and he's supposed to do something that nobody else could do?
Well, I have a lot to say about President Bush. And not because I'm a Democrat and I'm a liberal. It's because he sent, what was it, $2 trillion or no, $12 billion, I'm sorry, $12 billion on a barge over to Afghanistan and Iraq to deal with these warlords. I have a problem with that. But that's just me, Rick. That's
just me.
I appreciate you calling in. I got to get to some other calls. Thank you so much. Let's go to Jane calling in Minneapolis. Hey, Jane.
Hi. I'm a liberal Democrat, and I believe that that Trump has put his foot in his mouth too many times, and I don't know what else to say. That's my opinion of him.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go over to Jim calling in from St. Paul. Hey, Jim, how you be?
Pretty good. I tell you, Geraldine, that guy that called you, I think his name was Rick.
Mm-hmm.
He is your typical Republican. They're very strong-minded as far as what they have to say. But if you ever debated them on a stage in front of anybody that knows anything, they'd be laughed out of the place because they have absolutely no facts. But there's two things I want to...
Before you go on with that, though, you know, you and I both know that the loudest person, the squeakiest wheel, gets the oil. And if we Democrats, liberals, are not going to speak out, scream out, you know, as loud as we can and do something about it, then we have no right to scream.
Gerald, this is what I want to... These are the things I want to touch on. Now, you have got a show, and you know people. If you talk to anybody that's involved in politics, and believe me, I am, if you can find out how they can do anything about this thing called cross-checking. Cross-checking is responsible for us losing the election, and I'll tell you this, as hopeful as I was last week, the more I look into this, I don't think we'll ever win another election if they don't stop that cross-checking. Do you know what I mean by cross-checking?
I don't, and I'm not quite sure about it, but I've heard other people tell me.
Cross-checking is where... It just came with your Republicans in the South, and they got a hold of one guy with a certain name. It's a common name, right?
Mm-hmm.
He might have some law violation or something. Everybody named by that across the nation at these Republican states that participate in this is not allowed to vote. They will give them a provisionary ballot and then throw it away. You look into that. I've talked to both our senators about this, and I just can't get anywhere with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very important. It is one of the reasons we keep losing.
I understand that, Jim. At the same time, about what, 10 years ago or maybe 8 years ago, I tried my best to make it very clear by bringing on a woman who was an expert in these voting machines, particularly the Diebold machines. And she said, if they keep spreading, I promise you they'll be able to steal the election. Why weren't we screening from the mountaintops? Let's not accept any electronic voting, you know, machines. Let's not do it. No. It's spread, and it's moving across the nation.
Carolyn, from your mouth to God's ears, honest to God, that you... Those two things would make sure that the Republicans, the clowns that are in power now that want to ruin everything for everybody, and believe you me, if you're not affected by what they're doing now, you shortly will be.
All right, I got to go, Jim. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. And by the way, it's not just Republicans. It's everybody. Everybody needs to be accountable for every vote. So it's the Democratic Party, the Independent Party. I don't care what party it is. As long as we know that it's on the up and up and they're not stealing the votes. And that's a whole that's like a whole night for a show like that. Let's go to Patty in Lake Elmo. Hey, Patty, welcome to CCO.
Hello. I am going to correct you. You are 100% incorrect on people not being able to get insurance before the Affordable Health Care Act went into effect. Every state had a comprehensive pool of insurance. You could get insurance with pre-existing conditions. You are not denied through the pool in any state in the United States. Obama did not give insurance to people who had pre-existing conditions because you could always get insurance through the comprehensive pool in any state.
But not as far as the basic. It wasn't part of the basic insurance. You had to spend more for it.
Yes, my husband's in the business. So I do know this. He's been in the insurance business selling health insurance for 38 years. anyone can get insurance before the Affordable Health Care Act. It didn't matter if you had pre-existing conditions. There was the Minnesota pool that insurance company paid into to the pool.
I understand what you're saying, Patty, but I'm asking you, if my understanding is that you had to pay extra for that.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, no, no, no.
They'll be the same.
No. Okay. I'm going to do my. No, no, no. I don't believe that at all. You have so many people that have come forward with pre-existing conditions, crying and screaming, losing their homes, losing their jobs, losing everything because that child was sick or the one of the family members got sick and it cost them $200,000 for the bill. So that's not true, Patty. That's absolutely. Yes. If they, then why did they come forward and go, thank goodness for the ACA, thank goodness for Affordable Care Act, because now this whole pre-existing condition thing, I don't have to worry about that. No, no. And by the way, if Congress had supported,
you didn't have to worry about the pre-existing conditions before. That's why every state had a pool that insurance companies funded for people with pre-existing conditions. Everyone is under the misconception that you couldn't get insurance because of pre-existing conditions, and that is 100% not true. Anybody, anytime, could get insurance long before the ACA came into effect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will agree. I will agree on this. There were people with pre-existing conditions that could get insurance. I have a dear friend with a pre-existing condition. She was able to get insurance, but it cost her a lot of money. It's not that you can't get it. You can't afford it.
At least with the
Affordable Care Act, it's now affordable. And the doctors cannot turn you away for having a pre-existing condition, nor can the insurance companies turn you away for having a pre-existing condition.
They couldn't turn you, hospitals and doctors couldn't turn you away before if you were in the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Care Act or in the pool. They can't turn you away because of that. You're 100% wrong. Anybody in the country could get insurance long before Obamacare came in. They should have left insurance with the insurance companies and never have turned insurance over to the government.
So how do you explain all the people that came forward? How do you explain it, Patty? How do you explain all the people that came forward and said, oh, thank God, thank goodness for the Affordable Care Act? Because now, no, I'm asking you, how do you?
It's not an Affordable Care Act. The premiums have skyrocketed.
So let me ask you something, Patty. How old are you? What insurance do you have? Do you have Medicare?
No, I am not Medicare age. What I am saying, though, is the government never should have gotten involved. It should have stayed with the insurance companies, and it should go back to the insurance companies because they will compete for your business. Premiums will go down.
But we've already been there, Patty. We've already been there, and it wasn't working. It wasn't
working.
For those who could not afford it, maybe you can afford it. Hey, your husband was selling it for 38 years. Maybe you guys have a lifetime, you know, plan that he was able to work out. But the majority of Americans, particularly the middle class, was not able to do it, Patty, and I will not receive that from you. There's a reason why this was done. There's a reason why this was done.
The premiums are no different. The premiums have escalated with the ACA.
And you know why those premiums escalated with the ACA? Because the Republicans refused to fund the exchanges.
No, it's not. The premiums haven't gone up because the Republicans refuse to finance the exchanges. That's not why premiums are going up.
Why do you think premiums went up?
Okay, I will let you talk to the expert.
Okay, good. And I'll bring them on. I'll bring an expert on and really talk about this, and I'll get clarity on it. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it, Patty.
Geraldine.
Okay.
William, how you doing?
All right, William.
Okay.
I'm fine. Welcome.
The main thing of it is, the premiums that people were paying with the Comprehensive Health Association back when before the Affordable Health Care Act came into play are the same types of premiums with the cost of living allowances increases as they are paying today. So everybody back then, you're paying the same amount now as the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association was back then. That's how come the rates are so high, because the Comprehensive Health Association with any state is the risk pool. And that's how come the rates are so high. It's just like auto insurance, okay? If you're going to be a safe driver, State Farm, American Family, Travelers, they all give you fantastic rates. But if you have an auto accident, you have DWIs or something like that, you're going to pay for it, okay? So now you're in a risk. That's how come your insurance is so high. Now, these people, now that we have all your Affordable Health Care Act and all the people here with, like, cancer and diabetes and stuff like this, yeah, God forbid anything like that would happen to anybody. But
it does, though, William. But William, it does.
But the thing of it is, everybody now.
No, you can't say everybody. You can't say everybody.
Everybody now is paying the risk pool price to Comprehensive Health Association. Now, we come into places like what Dayton did, okay, with the 25% rate reduction or 25%.
William, I'm not going to get into all of that. And I know your wife passed you the phone. I promised her that I would bring an expert on to really talk about this. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it.
Okay.
I will be the first one to admit it. So thank you for calling in. I sure appreciate it.
I'll be more than happy.
No. I'm going to get. No. Thank you. And it's not because I think you and I just disagree. I need clarity. And when I get clarity, I will be the first one to admit if I'm wrong. OK,
I'll be more. Than
I hope you. I hope you'll do the same, though.
Okay, thank
All
you.
Right.
Thanks for talking.
Thank
to
you. You too. Okay. I'm going to take a breather and take a one-minute break, and we'll be back in a moment. It is now 7:54. I appreciate our in-studio coordinator, Kevin Reed, for playing that song. It always calms me down. And as I've said in the first half hour, that I am losing sleep over what is happening in our nation. And I don't propose that I know it all by any means. In fact, the more I think I know, the more I realize I don't know. But what I am saying is that the Affordable Care Act gave parents a chance to keep their children on their insurance up to the age of 26. People with pre-existing conditions were able to go into the doctor's office and not worry about it. Now, if that isn't something that's important that we did, then I don't know what to tell you. I think our last call will be with Kim. Kim, where are you from?
I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hey, now, welcome to CCO. What do you say?
Well, commenting on that earlier caller that said that Obama hadn't done anything, maybe he was right. He didn't really do that much. He won the war in Libya. He enforced equal pay for women. Just a couple of things he did. Not
just a
much.
Couple, so... Taking out Osama bin Laden, no.
Omar Gaddafi, he got him too. He won the war in Iraq.
Just a couple things.
He mandated that all expenses of families of fallen soldiers who wanted to greet their loved ones when they arrived at Dover Air Force Base be covered by the government.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. The Letty Bed Letty.
A blackout on war casualties and allowed photos of our fallen soldiers coming home if their family so approved. He ended the previous stop loss policy that compelled soldiers to serve longer than their enlistment date. Mm-hmm. He phased out the expensive F-22 warplane and other outdated weapon systems. He came up with that idea of trying to cure that terrible disease in Africa. And he led that, and they did find it. I forget what the name of it is. He removes restrictions on embryonic stem cell research.
Stem cells, uh-huh.
Yeah. Granted new federal funding for science and research. Mm-hmm. Increased infrastructure spending over the years of neglect. Funded high-speed broadcast internet access to K-12 schools. Rescued the U.S. auto industry, which was essential to our nation's defense, and kept us from falling into a massive apocalyptic depression. Saved GM from certain bankruptcy, that was part of it. Mandated a no-torture policy, required improved body armor for our troops, crushed the Somalian pirates, hunted down and killed nearly all the leaders of Al-Qaeda one by one, prosecuted and deported more illegal aliens than any other president before. He relentlessly hunted down Osama
bin Laden. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was saying. Stopped the Ebola outbreak by creating a medical task force led by the U.S. military to develop a vaccine that stopped this terrible disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he really didn't do a lot, Geraldine, compared to Trump. And you know something else? He drank beer, and Trump doesn't drink beer. Sure.
I appreciate you calling in, Kim. Thank you so much.
Bye.
I appreciate that, Kim. And we need to say that over and over and over again. Any president that does a lot for this country, we should lift them up support them and say, thank you. Thank you for getting that done for the most Americans you could get it done for. Thank you. We should not tear them down when they're trying so hard to help. This particular president, my challenge is I can't find where he's trying to help. And I'm not talking about me and my house or to me and my community or me and my city. I am talking about the nation. I can't find it. You know, feel free to send me an email and let me know where do you see that? And then you tell me, oh, it's only been 6 months. Oh, my gosh, the fight for women to be paid equally was the first thing that our President Obama inked into being. So much more to say. Thank you again, Kim. We'll be back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.